Hey, Corey here. We've had an influx of new listeners, and so I just want to make sure that if you are new to the podcast, you don't just jump in and start listening to these daily episodes, which we've been doing. Please go back and listen to the first at least 8 episodes so you have an idea of what Collapse is, what it is that Corey is talking about. Also, if you've been with us for a while and you're enjoying the content, please join us on Patreon. We would love to see you there. There's a link, as always, in the description. For today's episode, I actually received a message from a listener, and I had to respond to them and apologize because I hadn't seen this message when they first sent it, and it was a couple of weeks ago now, but maybe it's a blessing in disguise because there's been some updates and developments on this event or this topic in the weeks after it happened. So I'm going to go through some articles talking about this, and I think that it's very important because it's something that's going to keep happening, and it's going to get worse all around the world. So you might know that in the U.S. a couple weeks back, we had a very large storm. This was a storm that did billions of dollars of damage. It wreaked havoc in the south and the east part of the U.S. In many areas where it doesn't normally freeze or snow. Kind of funny because it seems like much of the east and southern United States got the west treatment, in that all the snow that normally happens in states like Colorado, Missouri, Utah, Idaho, Wyoming, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Montana, all that snow, which is not happening in many of those places, did happen in this massive storm. Now, obviously, when you have places that are usually above freezing and very often in the 50s or 60 degrees Fahrenheit throughout the winter, or even warmer than that, it can cause a lot of disruption. And it's not just, you know, oh no, the roads are slick and it's hard for people to drive. And it's not just the issues of these homes not having heaters and the impact that it has on the people there. It's also a massive issue for agriculture. Now, food reliability is something we talk about quite a bit on this podcast. And that's why I think this is a great example of the types of things that we can expect to experience as collapse accelerates. We have built our society on a relatively stable climate up to this point. You hear climate deniers, climate change deniers all the time say things like, oh, you know, Earth has gone through these fluctuations in the past. Temperatures go up and temperatures go down, and it's fine. The truth is, humanity, as we know it in our, you know, techno-industrial societies, have never been through those ups and downs of the climate. We've been in a Goldilocks zone in which we've been able to build our food systems on stability. Well, as we change the climate, that has massive effects on the stability of the climate. It doesn't just mean that some places are getting hotter or that all places are getting hotter. As Paul Beckwith calls it, and I've heard a few others refer to it as climate weirding, it just means that there's chaos introduced into the system. Places that are hot are getting hotter. But sometimes they get colder and much colder. Places that are cold are getting hotter, and sometimes they get much hotter or much colder. You just don't know. The swings are violent and wild. Well, because of these freezing temperatures, it did major damage to crops throughout much of the U.S. South, including and especially in Florida. Obviously, Florida is typically tropical weather. They grow citrus, tropical trees, and other plants that require conditions to be healthy, right? Many of those plants need to stay above 50 or even 60 degrees Fahrenheit. They can survive if they get lower than that for some amount of time, but most citrus and other tropical plants are not going to survive even a night or two of freezing. Frost kills tropical plants. Now, this cold snap throughout the eastern United States and southern United States caused, again, like I mentioned at the beginning, billions of dollars of damage. They believe that in Florida alone, the crop damage could top $1 billion. When you think of $1 billion of damage, I mean, it used to be that, you know, there might be a handful of billion-dollar disasters each year in the U.S. That number is rising rapidly, and it seems like every year we're in the high teens to mid-20s. For the number of at least $1 billion damage storms or natural disasters. And many of those are reaching into the tens, if not hundreds of billions of dollars of damage. It was actually one of my bingo guesses for 2026 that we would experience the most ever $1 billion plus natural disasters in the U.S. in history. I think I said that it had to be over 30 of them, which I believe we have not yet experienced. All right. Anyway, one video I watched on this, it was about a tree nursery. A guy kind of did a tour to the newscaster to go around their tree farm and show all the damage. And it's thousands and thousands of trees that are completely dead, sitting there potted, just waiting to be disposed of now. He says he believes that it amounts to $1 million just for his one business, and that it will likely change the landscape of the nursery business for Florida permanently into the future. He said he himself is not going to be looking into planting the same types of trees that suffered the worst losses, because there's risk of this happening again. He said he was hopeful to be able to save some of the crop and still be able to make some sales. But as you can imagine, this is a terrible situation for this business owner to be in. He is not alone. He mentions how all of the nurseries around him, he's got several, I guess, competitors, you know, in the market near him, and they all suffered similar losses. His little farm would be 1/1,000th of the amount of damage, obviously just mathematically, if his was $1 million and there was $1 billion of damage. Now, this could also have a major impact on food prices. Florida is known for its citrus, for oranges, and all of these things, many of which did not survive. That $1 billion figure is going to include, in large part, damage to food agriculture, not just ornamentals and things like this guy's farm was. I'm going to read from some of one article. This was from West Palm Beach. This was right after it happened when they were still assessing the damage. It says this: farmers across South Florida are assessing the damage to their crops following a hard freeze overnight. In West Palm Beach, Alexander Salazar, owner of Tropical Acres Farm, is examining his tropical fruit trees, including mangoes and avocados, after temperatures reached 28 degrees around 7:30 a.m. Monday. It was certainly very threatening, and so far, with the protective measures we've taken and what we have been able to observe, the damage doesn't look too bad, but there is some, Salazar said. Our concern is our in-ground trees that are too big to cover and take protective measures on. So far, any damage we're seeing is on those. It's limited so far. It's still early. He said the biggest concern is the damage to banana and papaya trees. It also says that a farmer in the city of Pahokee, who is known for harvesting beans, corn, cabbage, and sugarcane, reported that freezes have not been this severe in 25 years, and it resulted in a loss of about 40% of his above-ground crops. Now, this guy talks about how the damages might have been limited in some areas of his crops. Some areas were hit harder. However, in the video that I watched, the guy talks about how it happened more than once, and when at first he thought he could protect his plants and his trees, after the second night of freezing, it did most of them in. And so I don't have an update on the gentleman in this particular article, but I assume that for he and many others, that was the case. They could do a certain amount of work to attempt to save their crop, which may have been successful to a limited degree, but a sustained cold snap of more than one day was enough to cause serious damage. Okay, so we've talked about a couple of impacts here. One is just a potentially permanent change to the type of crops that many farmers are going to be willing to grow in order to prevent losing this much money again. B, the impact it's going to have on food coming out of Florida in the near to immediate future. But there are a couple of other interesting impacts, especially as it relates to catabolic collapse.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
This article from freshplaza.com says, Florida suspends farm inspections after freeze and drought losses. Florida Agriculture Commissioner Wilton Simpson has issued an emergency order suspending certain regulatory requirements for agricultural producers following severe winter weather, drought conditions, and elevated wildfire risk. The order, executed February 17th, temporarily suspends on-site inspections required under the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services Best Management Practices Program. Talks about how it applies across all 67 counties, and under the bylaw, basically, it says that normally conducts on-site verification inspections to confirm nutrient management and water quality compliance. And now this is being done under an executive order, which was given by Governor Ron DeSantis, declaring a state of emergency statewide due to winter weather, drought, and wildfire conditions. The order authorizes state agencies to suspend regulatory requirements where compliance could hinder emergency response. It talks about how the cold front that came through lasted from January 31st to February 3rd. Crop losses are estimated to reach up to $1 billion, particularly in citrus, vegetables, berries, and other commodities, extending south to Lake Okeechobee. Now, this is interesting. It says, at the same time, more than 95% of the state is experiencing drought conditions, described as the worst in over 25 years. Over 35 counties are under burn bans as dry soils and freeze-damaged vegetation increase wildfire risk. Okay, wow. So there's a whole lot to talk about with this. We'll get to the catabolic collapse part in just a second. First, I just want to mention from a climate perspective how interesting it is. Florida experienced this terrible freeze, which caused $1 billion in damage, while at the same time they've been experiencing massive drought and an increased wildfire risk. And this freeze actually made the wildfire risk worse because it killed, you know, within 2 or 3 days, so much of their grass and trees and ornamentals and all this different stuff that now that it's dead and it dries back out, it becomes a major wildfire risk. It says no direct financial relief was included in the executive order. However, applications are scheduled to open February 25th for more than $600 million in federal disaster assistance linked to 2023 and 2024 hurricanes. The commissioner has also requested federal approval to use state disaster block grants for freeze-related relief. So going back to the gentleman in the video that I watched, the news report where he was talking about the $1 million in damages, he was hoping for, he said, federal grants or relief for that money that he lost. The comment section on YouTube, there was only a few comments there, but they were primarily saying, why should the taxpayer have to pay for your bailout? You got into business, you know, other businesses go out all the time. It's a risk that you take. Why should we have to pay for that? Now, you can argue for or against that idea all you want. The point is, well, there's two here from a catabolic collapse perspective. One is the money side. Yes, Florida just a couple of years ago went through major hurricanes. They're seeking $600 million in federal disaster assistance that they're doling out for that. This did another $1 billion in damage and they're seeking federal funds for that. How much more are they going to be able to offer? There's only so much money to go around, right? Especially from the government who is deeply in debt. And these types of resources from these disasters are going to only increase. So as the debt increases and the amount of money needed to help keep things afloat economically, to help individuals, the safety nets are going to increase as well. How do we manage that dwindling amount of resources with increased demand? The other thing here, obviously, is the fact that they're shutting down government regulations, at least for a time, to stop all inspections. You know, there are potential cascading effects from that as well. Now, of course, that's not guaranteed. It's not to say that most inspections are finding major issues that are constantly being corrected, but there is a chance for not only things to be found that may have otherwise gone unnoticed that could cause problems to the public, it also gives these farmers who are already struggling financially an excuse to cut corners because they're not being monitored. If they know there's no inspections for the foreseeable future, they can start to cut corners to save money in other ways, which put the public at risk for, you know, who are consuming their goods. It could mean that produce makes it through that isn't up to par. So not only is that produce going to cost more because there's less of it, it also may be less quality, or it could be unsound in other ways. These are just a few examples of the types of things that happen, all as a consequence of climate change. And these things, again, are going to get worse. They're going to expand. Will there ever be a point in time in which these farmers stop being able to pay altogether to plant new crops the next year when the year before saw a total failure in yield, or when multiple years saw failures in yield, or when the margins get so low that they say, forget it, we're not doing this anymore? who's going to grow food for the nation when it's not a profitable venture, when the government can't pay to keep it all afloat? So anyway, there's a lot to this and a lot of different consequences. This is just once, and this one time happening, if this is the only time, is surmountable, right? It's not a long-term devastating event. But you stack this again and again, if this happens every other year or in different places, it can start to have some real long-term effects. And obviously, Florida is not the only place this is going on. Different parts of the world are experiencing, whether it be freezes or droughts or wildfires or whatever it may be, that is having similar effects on our food systems. So if you were hoping to eat oranges or avocados, coming up this spring here in the U.S., you may find that the price has gone up just a little bit more than it already was due to other inflationary pressures. Okay, thanks for being here. See you tomorrow.
Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.